Welcome to Off the Beaten Path, but Not Lost.
With Tony,
Kristen,
Kylie,
and Lexi.
Join us on this RV full-time living journey.
Across the beautiful United States.
Where the fair was.
Welcome to episode 115. Today we're talking about Arizona, a place that's as rich in natural beauty as it is in stories. Arizona is a destination that has captured our family's heart, and we're excited to share it with you.
We love it here. We love the winters. We've never really spent a summer here, so we don't really know what that's like. Heard stories.
I'm not sure we'd love that, but... We love winter here, for sure.
Yeah, not in an RV.
From the Grand Canyon to the Red Rocks of Sedona and the historic gold mining towns, we're going to tell you about all of our favorite locations, including things that are still on our bucket list.
First, we want to let you know about some fun new additions to our shop, Explore More Threads. We have a new shirt design in the shop, and it's essentially about the pull that we feel towards the mountains. And it's a quote by John Muir.
Yeah, the quote is, "You're not in the mountains are in you." And it has a mountain design on the shirt. So I really like that. And then also, soon to be put in the shop, it's not in there yet, but we have some new stickers, which I'm really excited about. One is our new logo, which we've been meaning to get anyway, so we can give our new sticker to people now. We have a fun new Jeep sticker that my sister drew for us, which I love. So I got that turned into a sticker. We have a Yuma sticker because we love this area.
Yep.
We actually drew this one and designed this one. And it has an Ocotillo on it that we drew and designed. And then it says Yuma, where the sun spends the winter. We also have a new cute little turtle design that just says take it easy that we designed as well. So we'll be putting those in the shop, which I'm really excited about. We will also share pictures of those in the show notes of this episode and also on Facebook or Instagram and Facebook probably.
Sure. And if you're looking for the show notes to this episode, you'll find all the links at thefeolas.com/115.
Before we get started, we want to read an email from Monica and Bob, who found us through South Dakota podcast that we've done.
Yeah, she said she was looking up information for a trip to South Dakota and came across one of our podcasts about South Dakota. So
yeah, you're going to love South Dakota, by the way.
Yeah, it's one of our faves for sure.
Yeah, the Black Hills, Custer. If you're going to boondock, I don't know if you've tried boondocking yet, but if you're going to boondock, the Wall.
Oh, yeah.
Is a really cool place. We've talked about it in that podcast, so I'm sure you heard us mention all of this already. But you are really going to love that area for sure. But you had a question about water pumps, and we wanted to bring that up in this call in case anybody else had it. We have replaced our water pump.
Twice.
And we have an extra, just in case.
We had an extra, but I left it behind in our storage unit because I was going to try to use it for a water transfer pump for my water bladder, and I just never did it. I actually just bought a pump for that.
But you don't have the extra part now?
No, I don't need it. I have a warranty on the new one.
So tell us what you know about water pumps and maybe some tips that they can go through. It sounds like they're having a little bit of bad luck.
Well, she did mention like SureFlow water pump, and they said they've gone through several. Our problem was I feel like our pump was overheating because it was cycling too much. I had the SureFlow pumps twice, and then the one that we've had actually for 2 years now is a SeaFlow. It's like a marine and RV water pump.
That's me knocking on wood.
And it's held up good. One thing I did add to it was a small accumulator tank. So it's kind of like on your house well, you have a big accumulator, like usually like 20 or 30 gallons or something like that. So your pump fills that, and then you use water from that, and then the pump will cycle again. This one's very small. It's like maybe a quart. But it gives us a little pressure. When the water pump's off, we can still run the water for like 5 or 6 seconds before we actually have to turn the pump on. And that helps with our reverse osmosis system, because that, when you use it, it likes to cycle through and fill its own tank. That accumulator pump, I think it takes a little bit of the burden off of that water pump. It'll fill that, and then it'll drain the tank, and then it'll fill it up again. So it doesn't cycle as frequently, so it doesn't get as hot, if that makes any sense.
Plus, you got a different kind now, right? What kind did you get now?
Seaflow.
Oh. Mm.
Other than that, that's about all I've done with the water pump situation. I changed brands. It's about the same specs. You know, I assume it's
Where'd
like,
you get it?
I got this one at Camping World.
And it's lasted us longer than the other one, for sure.
Said it's 2 years.
Okay, great. So that is the information on the water pump. It may just be that you've gotten a little bit of bad luck as well, but try this brand if you haven't tried it yet. And hopefully you don't run into any more problems with that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that can be a pain, especially when you're getting ready to hop in the shower and you have no water pump. Ask me how I know.
Thank you so much for listening and sending us your thoughts and like your future plans. We loved hearing about those. You are going to love South Dakota, like we mentioned above. Yep. You're headed there. You're also going to love Voyageurs. I'm really excited to hear you're going there, because that's a very, it's not as visited park. And I think it's a
That was a sleeper for us big time. Like, I was like, yeah, thinking to myself, we could probably spend a day here and be done, check it off our list. And then we spent a little time there. We spent all day on the boat, which was amazing.
Yeah, if you can get a boat or if you can rent a boat, definitely do that. That was a bonus, and I think that really helped us see the park from a better angle.
Yeah.
We would like you, though, to, however, send us back a message or send us a voice message or something when you go to Isle Royale, because we have not been there yet, and we'd love to hear all about your stay. So definitely send us another email on that.
That's been on my bucket list for at least 20 years.
Because we are from Michigan, so we should have been there already. Monica also mentioned that she missed her Jeep they sold because they did the whole fifth wheel setup. I'm very sorry to hear that, Monica. You can live through our stories as much as you want. We do plan on doing more trails this year, or actually coming up. We just had a couple problems we had to get taken care of with the Jeep. But they are finished now. Well, tomorrow they will be, at least.
Yep.
So we're going to be jumping back into more trails. So live through our stories as much as you'd like.
Yeah, even send a trail request.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Send us a trail request that's kind of mean, but send us a trail request that you wish you could do, but you sold your Jeep. And we will do it for you.
Yeah, we could even do like a selfie and leave room to
put your face.
To edit your mugshot in there with us.
Yeah, that would be great. Please do. Please give us that. I think that would be fun. Also, you mentioned that Arizona and Utah are some of your favorite areas, and we agree. Both Utah and Arizona states have been a blast for us. And because of that, we did a huge email all about Utah. We actually have a part two to that. Tiffany actually sent us another email with a bunch of new places. So we're actually going to do a part two of that podcast eventually here. So that'll be coming soon. And then today, let's talk Arizona, which is one of your other favorite states. Yeah. So let's talk about Arizona.
And I feel like every time we come to any of these states, like you, especially Utah and Arizona, we feel like we've done so much there, but then we find out all these other things that we need to do. Like, we've barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's like a reoccurring thing in a lot of states, really. So that's why we keep coming back.
Yeah, I think this is why it's going to be hard for us to settle down, because just when you think that you've touched the, just when you think you've explored the United States enough, then you find like a whole nother layer.
Yep.
You know, the first time you visit a state, you do like the big things that you've always heard about, and then maybe a few off the beaten path things. And then the next time you come to the state, you don't do those things again. You do like the next layer. And then the next time you come to the state, you do like the next layer. It's like an onion.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. And that's why it's this lifestyle. When we're planning on going back to states, I try to plan different routes.
Yeah, so like you go the west side or the east side.
Sometimes we just, like through Colorado, I feel like we've driven the same exact route, but we have done other things, but...
But that's because I'm terrified to go over that mountain.
Yeah.
So we have to go up and around. Maybe we'll do that this summer. Next summer.
Yep.
I'm confused with my timing, but next summer maybe we'll do that when we're stuck in this area.
Yeah.
All right, let's get going. First, we did this similar kind of podcast back in July of 2021, episode 7.
Yeah.
So thefailas.com/7 will get you to that podcast. We talk about some of these things. We're going to mention them all again, so you don't have to go listen to that episode. But we didn't know near as much as we know now about the state back then. So... But that was the first time we did this. We also did a fun podcast, episode 57, which still seems like forever ago.
Yeah, for sure.
To be honest, about wintering in Arizona. So you can check that one out for some more ideas around that topic. All right, let's get started. So this is just going to be kind of like no special order here. We're just going to name off some places. These are all places that we've been, we recommend. We'll tell you a little bit about them. You know, we've done podcasts about almost all of these, but if we're not going to tell you the podcast for all of them, but some of them, if I had it handy, I would tell you. So.
Yeah, yeah.
The first one is the, like, nickname, I think.
Yeah, the Grand Canyon State.
So, Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon National Park. We talk about that one in episode 104. We've talked about it in multiple other podcasts about different information. We all love this park, some more than others.
Yeah, it's just a hole.
But one cool thing about this is there's awesome boondocking right outside of the main gate. There is a whole nother section that we have not been able to do yet because whenever we're in the area, it's closed. The north rim is way more remote and it's a whole different perspective. So I'm excited to finally get up there one of these days.
This last time we went, which is episode 104, we actually went before that too. So if you go back through our podcast, you might be able to find that one. But episode 104, we talk about how this time we did the shuttle.
Yep.
And we went down to
like Hermit's Rest and all those stops.
Yeah, that was cool.
Cool snowstorm while we were there.
Like a blizzard, actually. Yeah. I mean, it was like hailing on us. Like, I guess it was like a hail blizzard.
Sleet.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, the weather turned really fast, and I was not ready for it.
No, I think you had shorts on.
I don't think I had a sweatshirt.
Oh, okay.
Or a hoodie or anything. I don't think I had that, like, warm layer.
Yeah, it was cold. Luckily, the shuttle, you can, like, get on and off wherever, so that's kind of cool. But the Grand Canyon is spectacular, actually. I mean, I highly recommend going there.
From, like, a geology perspective, it is, you know, the granddaddy of them all, but...
The thing that, I guess, is hard for me is when you're standing up on the rim looking down, it's hard to really understand it because it's so big. It's so big, and it's so... It actually throws my eyes off a little bit. Yeah. Like, to me, it doesn't even look that deep because it just, I don't know how to explain it.
I would say to me, like, if you just go there in the middle of the day and the sun is bright and you just look at it, it kind of doesn't have any, like, texture or depth or anything like that. But if you get it the right time, early in the morning or later in the afternoon, you get some shadows going and then you can really kind of understand what's happening.
Yeah, that is true. In those times, it does look way better.
Yeah.
It's still just so big. It's hard to, like, wrap your mind around it. But we actually just watched a video, and I don't know if you've done some research on this, so maybe I'm talking out of turn here. But we actually just watched a video about an off-road trail that goes down into the canyon area from, like, a different – not through the park.
Yeah, not through
the national park. Did you get more information on that? Because we are totally doing that. I want to do that.
Yeah, no, that's a way at a different part of the – Grand Canyon, because the Grand Canyon is like a couple hundred miles long.
Yeah, but it's still the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, it's still considered Grand Canyon, so.
Yeah, I want to do that. So we'll when we do that, we'll let you know how that goes. But that looked really cool. They actually drove down into it, and then we're like looking up.
Yep.
Which would be way cooler to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm definitely more of a mountain person than a canyon person.
Yeah, I agree.
Next on the list is Sedona's Red Rocks. You have to see these. The Sedona area is amazing. There's a lot of really cool hiking trails and biking and off-roading in that area as well. But the town is just so cool. It's like built, the town is built into these huge red cliffs kind of around it. And it's just a cool atmosphere that if you haven't seen, you got to see.
There's an amazing church there that's built into the cliffs.
There's a blue McDonald's.
One of my favorite Jeep trails, Broken Arrow. I love that. There's several there, but that's probably one of my favorites because I love doing like the slick rock type trails.
It is a very cool area. You can go on a few hikes there that come up to like, what is it, the Seven Ponds or something. Yep. That was really cool that's space.
Soldier's Pass, yep.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of really cool things to explore
cool
in that
shops,
area.
Little shops, good food. All kinds of just the atmosphere when you get there. It's like a, it's still like a small town.
So you can like walk easily around in the town.
But it's still a popular tourist destination.
Next on the list is on the border of Utah and Arizona, and that's Monument Valley and Valley of Gods. And Valley of Gods, I think, is all completely in Utah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
only
then,
by about 25 minutes.
Monument Valley, I think, is split. So I think it's like both.
It's
both.
It's right on the border. I really don't think much of, if any, Monument Valley goes into Utah.
Oh, so it's all in Arizona.
Yeah. Now, we have never been to Monument Valley.
But my sister went.
But your sister went. She said probably a one and done kind of thing.
And she said it was one and done, but for us, we probably will never go there. Reason being is she really liked it because she's big into Back to the Future, and they have some like Back to the Future stuff there because they filmed parts of the movie there.
Yep.
So that's why it was a big deal for her. For us, I don't think we'll ever go there. She said it's very, very similar to the Valley of Gods. In fact, she thinks the Valley of Gods were better. And the Valley of Gods were free, and you can boondock there, and it's gorgeous. So we recommend going to the Valley of Gods. But I wanted to mention both just because they kind of hug that border. If you're going to go to Monument Valley, I would recommend Valley of Gods instead, which is in Utah. Yeah. All right, back to Arizona. That was a cheap one.
Utah got us just a sliver.
Yeah. Petrified Forest National Park.
This one was very cool. There's way more to it than I thought there was going to be when we went there. We've been there a couple times now. Just seeing like the giant logs trail and all those petrified logs like that. Plus, you get a lot of scenic drives in there. You get a lot of hiking trails. There's a huge wilderness area that for hiking, backcountry camping and hiking and stuff.
Also, like when you're, there's a main road that goes through the whole park. There's a visitor center at each end. Yep. And when you're driving through for like the first time, if you're looking off to the side, you will see the petrified wood everywhere. It's like scattered. And it really does look like a forest of petrified wood. So it's really cool to experience it. Plus, just a tip there, which we talk about it in that podcast, but there is free boondocking right outside the gate.
Yep, on the south end, there's a Crystal Forest campground.
Cottonwood is next on the list. Cottonwood is somewhere we've been multiple times. I think every year we've come here, so 3 years now we've been there.
Yep.
Cottonwood is near Flagstaff, Jerome.
Sedona.
So it's a good kind of starting point for all of those areas. There is 1,000 Trails there. If you have 1,000 Trails membership, you can stay there. Cool place.
And it's a good area they have everything. Mm-hmm. They have all the grocery stores. They have all the Lowe's or Home Depot. They have all those things. Propane, gas, water, dump station, anything you need, they have there in Cottonwood.
If you're staying there, you should go check out a couple different national monuments.
Yep.
So we actually, I didn't. I was sick. Or I was gone.
Yeah, the girls and I. Yeah. No, you were sick. The girls and I went to Tuzagoot National Monument. That is basically right outside of the north part of Cottonwood. It's a really cool, small national monument. It's very simple. It's like a visitor center and a Pueblo ruins.
And then the one that we haven't been to yet, but it is on our bucket list still, is a different monument.
Yeah, Montezuma Castle, which is just south of Cottonwood.
This one's actually a little cooler, I think. It has cliff dwellings.
Yep.
So we'll be going there probably the next time we come back here.
Yeah, probably fall,
We stay in Cottonwood, we'll probably go there. Next on the list is Flagstaff. This is a cool area. It's higher elevation, so it's colder.
Yeah.
We've never stayed in Flagstaff. Well, actually, we did, we stayed in the woods.
Boondocking area in the National Forest.
And actually, we went up there and played in the snow one time when we were staying in Cottonwood.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Just a kind of a freak winter storm came through, and it affected all of the higher elevation areas. It was probably 40, 45 degrees where we were, but they had about 2 feet of snow. So we actually made a day trip, and we drove up into the forest.
Played
in the snow, had a snow day in town, and that was a lot of fun.
Next on the list is Jerome. This is a fun mountain town. It's a city or like a town built into the mountain. It's kind of like a ghost town. They have like skeletons all over and like some stories there. Great, great little town for history and all of that stuff. Yeah, I think it's Copper, right?
Yeah. They have a lot of like supernatural stuff there.
We talk about this in quite a few episodes, but one episode that's interesting is episode 73. We talk about like our top five places or five unique places or something. So we really talk about Jerome for quite a long time because we only talk about five things.
It's a cool little place to visit. And like every time we go to Cottonwood, we go end up in Jerome.
Next on the list is Yuma, which is where we're at now. This area is very interesting. Well, okay, so let's do Yuma / Foothills.
Yeah, big time.
Because we're actually in Foothills. And this area is very interesting. Yuma has everything you need, but yet it's smaller. There's some good bike trails. There's tons of off-roading here. I really love this area. The weather is perfect, and it's not as crazy as Quartzsite. So most people that come down here kind of stay in Quartzsite, and we like going to Quartzsite. We've been down there, but everybody boondocks in Quartzsite, and there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
One thing we like is throughout the year, we do a lot of moving. We move like every couple weeks. For the last couple years, we've been kind of doing this weird thing where we go to North Dakota and we're stuck there for like a month.
Yeah.
We also did the Michigan thing where we stayed there for a few months. But for the most part, the entire summer, we're moving a lot. So when it comes to winter, we kind of just want to stay in one area too. Yeah. And the cool thing about Yuma is there is the Encore Park here that we can get a pool and a hot tub.
Yep.
And there's nothing better than sitting in a hot tub in the middle of winter, 70 degrees and
that's
gorgeous.
Where we make our friends. We don't make friends in Quartzsite. We make friends in the hot tub in Yuma.
Exactly. That being said, I have always been interested in staying in Quartzsite and experiencing that. It might be something that we planned it around like one of the show that's there or something. So then one of the gem shows or something, maybe something like that where we can go and stay there, boondock there, do that, and then come back to the Yuma. But that's on the list. But Yuma is very cool. Lots of things around here to do. Lots of off-road trails.
Also, one of the best events in Yuma is Howling at the Moon. We've talked about that in a couple podcasts.
We've done it twice now.
Yep.
Last episode was 114, which was last week.
Yep. That was an update. And we're leaving the day they're having the last one of the season, so the end of March. So we're going to miss that one, but we're definitely going to do that next fall.
Next on the list is Tombstone and Bisbee.
Tombstone was a big one for me. It is a very touristy town, which we talked about it in our Tombstone podcast. We did go full tourist on this, which we normally don't do in a lot of these places that we go. But this, like, you get there and you're just kind of sucked right into the action.
Yeah, you want to do it all from gun shows to yucky steaks that cost $50 each.
Yep.
You just want to do it all. You want to act like you were in that time. We talk about Tombstone in episode 69. We go over everything we did. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We fell into the tourist trap for sure, but
twisted our arm.
Our kids had a lot of fun. They got some, snap guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Ran around shooting each other, and it was fun. And then there's Bisbee, which we actually barely visited this. We drove to it just one day to check it out, and we actually drove at night, and it was just really cool because they had all their twinkle lights on everywhere. Cool town. This is one that we need to go back to and actually visit.
Yeah.
But it's also another really neat little town.
Yeah, and that's also another little mountain town that is very interesting. Yeah.
Where, like, the houses are built into the mountain. So what's cool about that is when you're driving into them or driving to them, you start seeing the mountain, and you can see, like, all the little specks of light, mm-hmm. which is really cool. Next on the list is the Hoover Dam. You kind of got to see it. It's just a dam. I mean, this is another one of those things that Tony's obsessed with.
It's an engineering marvel.
He is always, always going to check out all the dams, and I'm just like, once you see one, you've seen them all. And I've seen the Hoover Dam, so now I've seen them all. I don't need to see any more.
The one thing that we have not done, we did drive across it and walk across it, but we did not do the Pat Tillman Memorial Bridge, where you park and then you walk out, so you get like a kind of a more of a bird's eye view of the whole dam.
Oh, interesting. So
that's one thing that I want to do when we're back in the area.
I thought you were going to say we've drove across it and walked across it, but we haven't jumped off it yet. And I'm like,
no.
Where are you going with this?
Another thing, I don't even know if they still offer it, but they used to, and it's something that I wanted to do for a long time, was the
tour that goes through the dam. Yeah, I think they do those still. Okay. We should do that, too. So the tour and then the other one that you're talking about.
Yep.
Another cool city is Lake Havasu, which we just did in episode 114. You can hear about that. We talk about the London Bridge, which we checked out, some of the beaches and the water sports and all of the fun stuff there. There's also a ton of boondocking in that area as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot. A lot more than I thought. That area is, it's very much a lake town where you have the water sports happening everywhere and people driving around on the, you know, they're carrying their boats everywhere, or taking their boats everywhere. But you also have a ton of off-road trails that are right there as well. So you have a lot of side-by-sides and Jeeps and all these like off-road vehicles as well. So you kind of have the both worlds going on, which is similar to
like St. Helen,
Michigan. Yeah, St. Helen in Michigan, which we got to explore with our with my sister and her husband. And we talk about that in a podcast as well, like our 4th of July podcast.
Yeah, I love Lake Havasu area, though. It's a beautiful lake, pretty green, blue color.
Yeah, you don't see that very often out here. So it's really neat to see water like that.
Next one on the list is Chiricahua National Monument. Now, this is one that we barely touched on because we are going to go boondock right outside the National Monument in the National Forest that's there. But we couldn't get the RV back as far as we wanted to, and it was just way too muddy. It was actually in the spring, and they had gotten a lot of snow, and it was melting and turned into mud. We had to skip that one. We did drive into the National Monument as far as we could because we had the RV towing the Jeep. And you get to the visitor center, and then you're not allowed to take anything longer than, I think, 24 feet.
And we had to unhook, didn't we?
I had to unhook the Jeep, turn the RV around, and then rehook.
Yeah. The area is gorgeous, though. I was very bummed that we did not get to stay. So I didn't know anything about this, and then you had planned it all. And I was kind of like, we could skip this, like, because it was, like, sunny out still. Mm-hmm. I was like, we could keep driving. Like, I'm in a mood to drive. And you're like, no, let's go check this place out. So we went and checked it out. And then I was super bummed because it was actually really, really cool. They have a lot of hoodoos and just it's a really cool area, rock formations. There's hiking trails, bird watching, all the things. You will enjoy it. I would definitely check that out. Next on the list is Saguaro National Park. Now, this park is very cool. It's split in two on both one part on one side of Tucson and one on the other, right? The city splits the park in half. But this park, it's almost like, I joke with Tony, but to me it felt like it was watered.
Like a garden?
Yeah, like a garden. Because the park is very, it was a lot greener, which is really interesting. I would love to go there right now because I bet you it's really green this year because obviously it's not watered by people.
Yeah.
But the park is, it's a lot greener than I was used to seeing in the desert, and there's a lot of plants, a lot of cactus, like kind of like together. I don't know how to explain this.
Like a huge assortment. Yes. All together. Yeah.
I always have a hard time explaining this. I've done it in multiple podcasts now, but like we're in Yuma right now, and we're actually boondocking out in the middle of the desert right now, and it's very sparse. Like, there's like a plant here, and there's a plant over there, and there's a plant. Like, you could walk easily in this here. I mean, there's still plants, but not very much.
Where Saguaro, there's no straight line walking in that area.
Yeah, it's really hard to walk through unless you're on the trail, for sure. Plus, there's just a ton of saguaros, so it's really cool. You'll probably hear the same odd description in that podcast because I just struggle with this, is episode 67. But when you experience it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for
when
sure.
When you watch like a desert movie or you see a desert photo and it's like all these different kinds of cactus, that's like Saguaro National Park. There's so much there.
Another cool part about that area of southern Arizona is the Organ Pipe National Monument. It's a very unique place. That's, you know, one of the main places those organ pipe cactus grow. And once you get used to seeing like all the saguaros and the choyas and the ocotillos, these are totally
like,
different.
Yeah, they're like ocotillos on steroids. Or an ocotillo and a saguaro had a baby.
Yeah. And a yucca or something. Like.
Yeah, they're really cool plants.
And just the area is cool. There's a awesome scenic drive. There's hiking. There's a kind of off-road trails there.
You do want to be careful, though.
Yep. Yep.
It's very remote. Signal is very, like, spotty.
Yep.
There's actually areas that your phone won't work at all.
Yeah. And there's, it borders Mexico. So there's a lot of border patrol activity, a lot of other activity.
You will see a lot of signs as well that, you know, give you the illegal activity happening constantly.
Including right at the main boondocking area outside of the National Monument.
Yeah, it was funny. So, when we stayed there, you were like, oh, they just put those everywhere or something like that. You're like 30 miles from the border still. Kristen, it's fine. And now I'm like, really?
That was a cool boondocking spot, though. That one was called Gunsight Wash.
Yeah, it was cool. It was. I really liked that area, so I would highly recommend it. There is, that's the other kind of bad thing about it, actually. It's not just that there's a lot of activity in there. There is one main road.
Yeah.
So you do get a lot of, that's where a lot of the traffic comes from, back and forth. That road goes to a port of entry.
Yeah, Lukeville.
Yeah. So that's where all the traffic is and stuff. It's kind of a busy road, and the monument goes right around that.
Yep. One thing that we love about Arizona is how much off-roading is possible here.
Yeah. Utah and Arizona is really top-notch for off-roading, I think.
And it can be very diverse. Like, you know, you've got dune areas, you've got the desert, rocky desert, you've got the mountains and the mountain roads and the trails that we love.
You have the Sedona Slick Rock.
Yep.
Which is different rock than the other rock.
Yeah, so Your off-roading options here are pretty unlimited.
If you own off-road vehicles of any kind, if you own a Jeep, and that's really all there is. But if you own a Jeep or something else, then you will enjoy this area for sure. Anywhere in the state, anywhere you plan on coming to Arizona, you can find a ton of different trails. And for that, we would recommend Trails Off-Road. Ready to hit the trails? We think you should check out Trails Off-Road, your go-to resource for the best off-road adventures. You can sign up now and get a 7-day free trial and explore thousands of trail guides, photos, and videos.
The all-access membership will unlock more trails, premium content filters, and exclusive member-only trails. Save time, save money, and embark on your next off-road adventure with confidence.
Please use our referral link at thefayolas.com/trailsoffroad and start your adventure today.
All right. So those are some of our favorite things that we've done and we've talked about on previous podcasts. Next up are a bunch of things still on our bucket list. We continuously add when we talk to people, they always ask us, you know, have you been here and done this? And if we have not, I make a note of it. I pin it on Google Maps and I write it in our book.
Mm-hmm. And then we try to do it the next time we're in that area.
Yep.
And so this is going to be like a shotgun list. Is that what you'd call it? We're just going to run through this list pretty quickly because, to be honest, we've never been there. So we don't know too much about these places. We've done a little bit of research about different membership cards, which we'll talk to you about when we get to those. We'll also mention if we know of any costs. But for the most part, we don't know a lot about it except for what people have told us. So we're just going to go through and just briefly tell you a little bit about it, add it to your bucket list, and then listen for future plans from us where we visit them.
Yeah, and you'll notice a theme of these. Most of them are pretty sciencey, which is something that we enjoy as a family, going to a lot of these museums and science centers. So you'll see that trend.
So first on the list is the Tucson, Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum. This is a zoo, a botanical garden, a museum. It really like dives into desert life. They do not offer any discounts. We actually did call them. So just a brief on our membership card. We have a card from Boonshoft or the Dayton Society. It's called both things.
Yep.
We'll link it again in the show notes. We've linked it multiple times. We highly recommend them. Reason being is you get science centers and museums. You get zoos. You get children's museums. You get...
A lot of times there's planetariums included in that. We've used that for planetarium before.
You really get all of them. Where a lot of the memberships, like let's say you go buy a membership at a zoo, more than likely it's only going to give you memberships to other zoos. You don't get all the other things.
Yeah.
So this one is cool because you do that. And it's $155 because we just renewed it. So for a family, it's $155 for the year. So just to clarify, that desert museum does not include any of those. They are an AZA member, right? They just don't include a discount.
Yep. She said not at this time, because I did call to make sure. She said not at this time, but possibly in the future.
Okay, cool.
Next area that we really want to check out, because we love water, is Lake Powell. Lake Powell is actually shared by Utah and Arizona. Another cool spot we want to check out is in Flagstaff. It's the Lowell Observatory. So we really love stargazing and, you know, astrophotography and all the things that go with it. Dark skies. They do accept the ASTC.
Yep, membership. Which is included in our membership.
Yep. And I did call on that, and she said it's a free general admission with that membership card. So
our family would get it free.
Yeah.
Do you know what the costs were?
I don't.
Okay. So if it's at $10 each or something like that, it'd be $40 savings. So right there, you're already almost to your pass price. The Tonto Natural Bridge State Park is next on the list.
This looks awesome. We love, you know, rock bridges and arches and windows and all those things. So,
and they have hiking and picnic areas. It's like an outdoor. It's a state park. So
next on the list would be Karchner Caverns State Park. These are some pretty impressive from the pictures, limestone caverns, similar to like maybe Carlsbad and Merrimack Caverns in Missouri.
So you'll notice that's two state parks right there, and I think we're going to mention a few more. This would be something where we would try to go to most of these state parks in 1 year. We'll get a state park pass that year and go to these, because we don't normally get a state park pass because we don't normally go to state parks here in Arizona.
That's another thing is Arizona has a ton of state parks, and there's a very wide range of like Karchner Caverns.
Havasu.
Lake Havasu has a bunch right on the lake. The Tonto Natural Bridge, it's completely different. It's, you know, it's all rock formation stuff.
And we have a couple more that we'll mention too.
Yep.
Next on the list is the Phoenix Zoo. This is an AZA partner, so we actually get a 50% discount here with our card. So it's not full, but it's 50%. But if you are any AZA member, so if you've bought a zoo membership anywhere and you have the AZA, you can get into the Phoenix Zoo for 50% off. Now, just a little like caveat here is if you buy the membership at that zoo. So if you bought a membership at a zoo, you'd get in free to the Phoenix Zoo as many times as you want or whatever membership you buy. We actually had a Toledo Zoo when we had a house in Michigan. We bought the Toledo Zoo membership and we were able to go there for free, and then we could get in like 50% off or more at the Detroit Zoo. So if you buy it at that zoo, you normally get full. But anyways, the Phoenix Zoo, it's a zoo. We're not going to get in detail about that, but we want to go there. Next on the list is the Butterfly Wonderland. Did you ever get a hold of them?
Yes, they do not offer.
This place actually looks really cool. It's located in Scottsdale, and they have thousands of butterflies.
Yeah, it's like
another rainforest type animals. Yeah,
interactive, where you go in and all the butterflies are flipping and flopping all around.
Yeah, so my kids, well, specifically Kylie, I don't know why, we've been to a butterfly museum before when she was little and she loved it. They were like landing all over her, but at some point in her life, she became deathly afraid of moths / butterflies, I guess. And so,
yep, she's not a fan.
We're planning a trip here to maybe break her out of that. I don't know. But I think she would handle it just fine. Maybe.
She's got good reflexes anyways.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to record her because I'm sure she'll be dancing through the place.
Yeah, exactly.
Another really cool place that we've checked out and we've wanted to go to many times, but it's actually kind of expensive, maybe a little more expensive out of our range, and that's Out of Africa Wildlife Park. It is in Camp Verde.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, which is right near Cottonwood. You drive by, if you go to the Thousand Trails there, Verde Valley, you've driven by this place.
And they supposedly have some exotic animals. They have live shows. They have safari tours.
They even have, like, zip lines. You can see the zip lines that go. I don't think they go over, like, the lion's den or anything, but.
There's general. The general admission is $43 an adult and $28 for kids. And you know what? Maybe these are just normal prices, but we just don't like to get in zoos. We just normally don't pay that because we have our membership. So, but yeah, that is the price for that. Next on our bucket list items is Antelope Canyon.
This is near Page, Arizona. There's a lot of other cool things in Page, like the Horseshoe Bend. That's a very popular spot right on the river, and it's a very photogenic area. That whole area, Page area, we have yet to explore. We haven't really got to that section of Arizona, but when we do, we will spend quite a bit of time there.
Next on the list is Slide Rock State Park. This is another one of those state parks. And this one is really cool in the summer, which we're not really in Arizona in the summer, but this is near Sedona.
Yep, and it's kind of has like a natural rock water slide.
Next on the list is Biosphere 2. Actually, we didn't know about this place, and the Mad Nomads, which we just interviewed in thefabulous.com/113. Just went there and they put up a Instagram post and I'm like, perfect timing. We're going to mention this in our podcast on Arizona. This place looks really cool. I didn't know. So I guess I kind of knew. I kind of remember that scientists went and stayed at a place like this, but I really remember the comedy show.
Yeah.
And so I thought that's what it was at first. And then I was like, oh yeah, I vaguely remember like scientists actually going and staying really. And maybe they made the movie because of the scientist. I don't know. I don't remember, but I don't know which came first, Pauly Shore or the real. What do you think?
I think it was the science part of it.
So either way, that's how I know it. But they have a real one that you can go visit. Maybe even it's the original. I don't know. But it's the world's largest controlled environment dedicated to understanding the impacts of climate change. So that place looks really cool. The pictures look cool. I mean, there's these huge buildings and everything is inside it. They have like the water that you can fish in.
Yeah.
You can apparently live in here.
The Arizona Science Center. This is in Phoenix as well. This is it's a huge science center. It has tons of interactive exhibits, educational programs, workshops. Another one that we mentioned earlier is Montezuma Castle National Monument that is in Camp Verde. It has the ancient cliff dwellings.
Next on the list is the Titan Missile Museum. This is something that Tony would...
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, Tony would really love. We went to one of these in the Everglades, right?
Yep.
Minute one or something.
This is more of a underground silo. These are scattered all over. There's one in North Dakota that we've been by, South Dakota, all different states, especially throughout the Midwest. During the Cold War, this was a popular thing that they did was they built all these Titan missile silos.
So it's a 45-minute tour, which I have a question about. Do you have to walk down steps into this thing?
Yeah, more than likely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would freak me out. I would have a panic attack, I'm sure. If it's an elevator, I can, like, fake my, like, in the caverns, I was able to, like, it's actually not that deep. fake myself out to go up the elevator. But going down into it, I don't know. It would freak me out. But it's a 45-minute tour. Adults are, or 13 and older, $16.50, 5 to 12, it's $12. So not expensive, and it sounds like a really cool, fascinating glimpse into the Cold War era.
Yeah, big time.
Next on the list is somewhere we've actually drove by.
Several times.
And we've talked about it several times. And you've said, you want to stop several times. And we're either like rushing or something's, or it was raining one time.
Dark one time.
Yeah. So there's always been a reason. One of these times we will stop. And that is
Meteor Crater. So if you don't know what that is, it's near Winslow, Arizona.
Okay.
Another one that we've been by is the Pima Air and Space Museum.
We've been by it. Is that the big one that we went by?
Yes. They have tons of indoor and outdoor displays for like aviation and space. And right in the same area nearby, another place we drove by was like the, I think it's called the Aviation Boneyard or something like that, where there's tons and tons of jets and airplanes that is their final resting place. But this Pima Air and Space Museum looks really cool. We drove by it. There's like a, they have like a huge 747. They have all kinds of military planes and
it's
helicopters,
huge.
Everything.
Like
yeah.
plane after plane after plane. And they're yeah. all in rows. Like the exact, it's crazy. And that place is $13 to $20. Did you call them about our card?
No.
Bummer. I wonder if they accept it. But either way, the regular price is $13 to $20. And we don't know if they accept any memberships, but
sorry,
but you could call them and ask them.
The last one on our bucket list so far is the Arizona Museum of Natural History. This place is in Mesa, Arizona, so near Phoenix. And this one has all the things like paleontology, anthropology, geology, any ology that they do out there. They have it. They have displays. They have workshops and, you know, interactive stuff.
But and it's free.
It looks really cool. And with the ASTC membership, it's free admission.
But it's not for just everybody. So you do have to pay to get in. We don't know those prices. But if you do have the ASTC membership, it's free. And it looks really cool. So that is something that I would like to do. Can we do it this year or no?
No. Ugh. No time.
Okay, well, we'll definitely do it this winter or early summer.
Yep. And before we wrap this podcast up, we had another email. Dan from Montana asked about our new propane fire pit.
So we're going to do a gear review.
Who doesn't love new gear or fun gadgets?
Let us share with you what's new to us.
And loved.
In the RV, our Jeep, and our new tech.
Today's gear review is going to be about our new piece of outdoor equipment, which is our Outland Living Fire Bowl.
Cube.
Fire Cube.
Fire Bowl? Is that what you
said? Fire Bowl. I think they have a Fire Bowl, too.
So we actually bought the square fire pit for a specific reason.
Yeah.
Tony wanted to fit it into the one of our garages next to square grill. Yeah, you tell
us. It's a perfect size and, you know, it's a perfect dimensions to fit either in my garage, in my RV, if I wanted to pack it away there, or I have a specific way that I pack the back of the Jeep on move days, just with, like, our outdoor chairs and that kind of stuff. So it actually fits perfect.
And it's 14 by 14.
Yeah, it's a square, so...
We bought it on Amazon. We paid $129.99 for it. Right now, it's $149.99. I'll link it, and then you could easily just look. I mean, they have a ton of them, so you could get whatever fits your needs. But if you are a full-time RVer or if you're getting it for RVing, this one is kind of perfect because it's small.
Yep.
It's square, which that is so much better when you're trying to pack it into certain spots.
I just feel like sometimes when I'm packing stuff away and it's a big circle in there, there's like a lot of wasted space. I'm kind of a Tetris packer. So that's why I like the square.
But what I love about it is that I hate the smell of fire. I hate my clothes smelling like fire. Whenever we have a fire, I'd be like, okay, girls, you got to take a shower. I have to take a shower, you know, before you go to bed.
Yeah. But the bad thing is we love campfires.
Yeah, we love sitting around the campfire and smelling, you know, like smelling it while you're there, I guess.
Yeah.
Not afterwards. I don't like the afterwards cloak. But I love putting wood on a fire pit and hearing it. And that's the sad thing is you don't get to put wood on it anymore. But it's instant hot. You just turn a knob. It's perfect. And you just shut it off when you're done. I mean, it's kind of convenient. We've had more fires with this fire pit than I think we've ever had since full timing.
At least in just a few weeks' time. Yeah.
True, true. Maybe if we just, you know, did these few weeks versus others. Yeah. I'm a big fan. Yeah, and you have no smell. Like, you're sitting there and you're just like, oh, I have no smell. And then you come in the house and I go to take my clothes off, like my shirt off, my sweatshirt off or something. And I'm like, oh, no smell. This mm-hmm. is nice. So we also bought, right now, just so you guys know, it comes with an adapter for your regular propane tank. And so Tony was
using... Yeah, like a 20-pound tank.
He was using the same one that he uses for his Blackstone. However, that has become kind of an issue when we try to take it to, like, places. Because we're trying to pack it in our wagon. And if you put the fire pit and the propane thing in the wagon, that takes up, like, almost all of it. So we actually just recently bought an adapter from Amazon for a smaller propane tank. But we haven't used it yet, so we don't want to talk to you about it too much yet. We just want to let you know we got that.
Yeah.
And then when we use it, we'll let you know on a future podcast.
Yep. And that adapter allows you to use just a small 1-pound, like, Coleman tank.
Yeah, so then...
with this. So we'll see how long that lasts. If it's only going to last, you know...
20 minutes.
20 or 30 minutes. As long as you're not on full blast. I don't know that it's really worth buying the adapter, but we will find out and we'll let you know.
Or that you could have multiple propane tanks. It'd still be a lot less than
well, those
the big
little ones
one.
Are more expensive.
I just know that, like, when we went out to the Howling at the Moon, you know, we had your huge propane tank. I mean, it's not huge, but it's a square because it's in a crate.
I also had filled it that day, so it was heavy.
Yeah.
But just, you know, cumbersome, heavy.
So you had that in the wagon, you had the fire pit in the wagon, and then we had our huge chairs because we don't have small chairs in the wagon. And so it was just like a lot. I think having the smaller propane tank would be better. And then also on off-road trails, I want to take this and like drive off into the desert and watch the sunset and then drive home. And this is just so much more convenient than, you know, putting wood in a fire pit.
Exactly. And not to mention when we're boondocking in some of these national forests or BLM areas and they have a wood fire ban, sometimes you can still use that propane fire. So that's another advantage. If it's chilly out or if we just want to sit around and cook s'mores or whatever, we can still do that.
I haven't quite decided if I want to cook s'mores on it yet. I don't know if that's safe. I'm going to have to Google it. Let us know if you think that's safe to cook.
I don't see a problem with it.
Marshmallows on propane. I don't know. Well, I think that's a wrap.
I think that'll do it, yeah.
Yeah, that is Arizona, the Grand Canyon state.
Some of our favorite places and maybe soon to be favorite places.
And we'll always give you updates on those places as we visit them and explore them. Again, if you need any of the show notes for this episode, anything we've talked about... I don't want to go through all these and link it, but I will. You can find them at thefayolas.com/115. Please follow us on Facebook or Instagram at thefayolas. And again, we love to hear your stories, your questions, all of the things. You can send us like a voice message at thefayolas.com/message. You can email us at hi@thefayolas. You can...
DM us on Instagram.
Yeah, DM us on Instagram or Facebook. We'll pull all those things in, and we talk about them in the podcast, or we can just reply directly to you. If you have questions, you can let us know that too. But either way, we love hearing your stories and love hearing where you're planning on going. All right, cool. I think that's good.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. I'm a disaster today.
Yeah.
I don't think that sounded good at all. Let me say it again.
You want me to just do this by myself?
First, we want to talk to you. First, we want to do a reader. No, they're not a reader. They're a listener. Can you say that again? It sounded very bland. What's going on with you today?
What are you talking about?
Is it
your headset?
You know, you sound like you're reading it. Is it my headset? How does my headset change that? A quote by John Muir. Is that his name?
Muir.
How do you say his name?
John Muir.
Okay. It's a John Muir. John Muir.
John Muir.
John Muir quote. You say it.
Before we get started, we want to go over a... No. I don't know what we want to do.
Before we...
Let's stop. Cancel. Stop. Cancel
stop.
This.
Okay, stop. Hold on. Petrified National Forest.
Nope.
Just kidding. Next.
Go ahead.
No. I will slaughter that.